In sports, Derrick Rose's availability for the NBA All-Star game will depend on the results of further tests on his bruised right hip. The Chicago Bulls star took a hard fall early in last night's loss to Orlando and left the game. X-rays were negative. Eastern Illinois hosts Morehead State tonight in an Ohio Valley Conference game. Morehead State is in second place in the OVC and beat the Panthers 73-51 in their first matchup this season. Western Illinois is on the road tonight at Oral Roberts. Tonight's women's college basketball card includes a half dozen games involving Illinois schools, including Northwestern at Illinois, at a Big Ten contest. And that game gets underway tonight at the hall at 7 o'clock. That's sports.
WILL programs are made possible by Community Concierge Magazine. Every issue includes an event calendar, attractions, and maps, as well as a business and shopping guide. Community Concierge Magazine is distributed throughout East Central Illinois and always presents the Champaign-Urbana area at its best.
It's 2:41. As reported yesterday, the American Psychiatric Association has proposed eliminating the diagnosis of Asperger's disorder. Children with this diagnosis are often highly intelligent, but they can have social problems that make it hard to thrive in school. The new definition would place kids within an expanded definition of autism, and these words matter. They matter a lot when it's a label you're putting on your child. The change could affect families trying to get special education services in the public schools. NPR's Larry Abramson reports.
Parents of children with autism turn to the federal law that guarantees a free public education for students with disabilities. Kids with autism clearly qualify. For kids with Asperger's, it's been much less clear, especially in California. Melinda Bird, senior counsel with the advocacy group Disability Rights California, says the current guidelines used by psychiatrists present parents with a confusing set of symptoms.
And so parents in school districts spend unnecessary time arguing about whether a child meets every one of these nuanced criteria.
Bird says California school districts regularly question whether kids with Asperger's disorder need special ed services because they are often very verbal and very sharp. The new proposed guidelines could ease that confusion by eliminating Asperger's, as well as the unfortunately named pervasive developmental disorder not otherwise specified. That change may make it easier to get services and could speed up what has become a lengthy process. Melinda Bird says that's good for both parents and school districts.
Who will no longer have to try and slice and dice a child up into these different eligibility categories, and everyone will be able to get on about the business of educating children in need.
But special education is seldom that simple. Many attorneys say getting kids recognized as eligible for services is not their biggest challenge. It's getting the services that families actually want, whether it's tutoring or placement in a special school. Steven Greenberg, a special ed attorney in Northern California, says with or without the Asperger's category, schools draw a line in the sand.
Schools often balk at private placements, at having to pay for a placement outside of public school.
Because private placements can cost districts tens of thousands of dollars a year per student. Greenberg says the issue boils down to whether parents in an individual case are happy with what schools offer.
What do you do with that diagnosis and the eligibility? Does the child stay in the public school? Should they be disciplined as other students who do not have the disorder?
An important question, since disabled students have protections against being expelled when they act out. Educators who work with these students say they're concerned about the end of Asperger's for another reason. They feel they're losing a valuable tool which signaled what these kids need. Danya Jekyll runs the Asperger's Association of New England.
It sort of lets the teachers know, the professionals know, that there are a particular set of supports that are needed for these children.
Like other professionals, many educators say they've become accustomed to the Asperger's label. They're concerned the new category could just complicate things for kids who already face a lot of challenges. Larry Abramson, NPR News, Washington.
Here's a striking figure from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Fewer than 20% of disabled people in the country have work. However, in a suburb outside of Chicago, a company is employing people with a form of autism. Here's Adrian Hill of Chicago Public Radio.
Brian Tozzo is making sure programs like Yahoo Messenger and AOL interact properly with a cell phone.
Right now I'm just sending what's called a group message.
He types a message into his phone, pushes send, and...
there it is. Hello, how are you? And I, on the PC, and then on the screen you can see the same message. Hello, how are you? So it passes. Great.
Tozzo marks it down as a success in a spreadsheet that has hundreds, even thousands, of repetitive tests. At a different desk, Alan's son is training with a similar list.
It definitely helps utilize my computer skills and lets me use them to help others. So at least I'm seeing how my computer skills can be potentially useful to society.
Employment is so much more than a paycheck. It is structure to the day. It is sense of self-worth, value.
Brenda Weitzberg is the founder of Aspiratech, a nonprofit with the mission of training and employing adults with Asperger's and high-functioning autism. She started the business because she felt frustrated with the lack of job resources for her 30-year-old son. She says software testing is the perfect fit for people like him with autism spectrum disorder.
They're very focused on detail, able to do highly repetitive work, able to spot imperfections.
Aspiratech is relatively new, started with $25,000 in private donations. So far, it's trained 8 testers. It's just signed its first contract for work that'll start later this year. Weitzberg's inspiration is a 6-year-old Danish company called Specialisterne.
That actually sees autism, the autism characteristics, as a potential competitive advantage.
Torkel Sona is the founder of Specialisterne. The company currently has 36 consultants with autism spectrum disorder doing software testing and data entry. He came up with the idea after his own son was diagnosed with autism. Do you feel like the outlook for your son is brighter than it was 6 years ago?
Oh, yes, much more. I think that there's a much more positive attitude and openness in the business sector in Denmark.
Sona's hoping to spread the model worldwide. Copenhagen Business School professor Robert Austin has studied Specialisterne's business.
It does something that I think a lot of other models that hope to help people don't do. It aligns the interests of the people being helped with the interests of a business.
Austin says it's a hopeful model and that he'd like to see it work. It's one that doesn't view difference as a disadvantage. For NPR News, I'm Adrienne Hill in Chicago.
Next, a conversation NPR's Steve Inskeep had with an actor who may be the biggest movie star in the world. In his latest film, he plays a man with Asperger's.
We sat down the other day with the biggest movie star in the world. Even if you have never heard of Shah Rukh Khan, a billion people in India have. He is the biggest draw in the outrageously oversized films that come from Bollywood. Indian movies made in Bombay play across South Asia, the Middle East, Africa, and beyond. More people around the world watch Shah Rukh Khan than Meryl Streep or Brad Pitt. He sings, he dances, he tries to get the girl.
Please leave me alone.
Okay, I don't mind. I mean, it's all right with me.
In this film, he tries and initially fails to pick up a young woman on a train as it rolls across Europe.
I hate girls.
That film is from 1995, and 15 years later, it is still playing in a cinema in Mumbai.
In India, the films are not looked upon just as entertainment. They're a way of life.
And Shah Rukh Khan has made them his life. At age 44, he owns a production company and is host of India's version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. And he keeps starring in Bollywood productions, shown everywhere from distant Indian villages to multiplexes in New York.
People talk about Bollywood being very kitsch and just songs and dances and over the top and colorful. The idea is that you have to somewhere make a film which appeals to my 90-year-old grandmother and to the 9-year-old kid. So it's like a cabaret. Like, I have a couple of films written by American guys, and I bring them back to Mumbai, make them sit down, and then I turn them Indians. And I say, okay, here's the song. Here's the song. Yeah, and here's the mother. I say, but there's no mother in the film. I say, there has to be a mother in our film.
In movies that commonly last 3 hours, Shah Rukh Khan may howl his lines with his hair flying everywhere. He may dance on the roof of a moving train. In his latest production, which is being released in the United States, his character has Asperger's syndrome. After 9/11, this Muslim man is driven to constantly repeat a single explosive phrase.
My name is Khan, and I'm not a terrorist.
The movie is called My Name is Khan, and as the worldwide opening neared, Shah Rukh Khan came to New York City. He wore a black Nehru jacket with a white handkerchief in his pocket. He is a Muslim star in a mostly Hindu country. What made you want to make a film that related to 9/11?
I've had the two reasons. One, I've always liked the concept of taking a real-life incident and then taking a fictional story in front of it, like Titanic. And somewhere we just felt that there is an aspect of Islam which needs to be addressed now. Otherwise, this demarcation, this divide will keep on increasing. So I just thought we should have a message about a film with humanity, just goodness.
In the movie, you introduce yourself and simply declare, "I'm not a terrorist." I have run across Muslims in my life who have felt obliged to say that in one circumstance or another. Do you feel in some way that you are speaking for perhaps many millions of Muslims?
Yes and no, because the line is actually very emotional. And, people who are autistic or have Asperger's have a compulsive behavior. If they take on to something, they just keep following it. And he just gets this line in his head and compulsively keeps telling people, "My name is Khan, and I'm not a terrorist." And it's a more emotional thing that I'm not. See, we don't want to. The film is not about 9/11 or terrorism. It's a love story. And just the backdrop, an incident happens on television, as we all saw. And the butterfly effect of an incident like this, that, you know, two people who are actually completely unrelated to an incident somewhere in the world, and how their lives and their love changes or gets completely thwarted.
Soon after he finished filming My Name is Khan, India's biggest film star almost found himself thwarted. On a visit to the United States, he was detained and questioned for 2 hours at U.S. Immigration. The incident made front page headlines across India.
I didn't react to it as vehemently as I think everyone else back home did, because I'm used to it. My name is Khan, really, and it kind of becomes on the security, and I'm sent to the other side, which is okay. I don't make a big issue out of it. As a matter of fact, the foreign minister in India said that, you know, we're also going to do the same to the Western world people when they come. So I said, give me the chance to frisk Angelina Jolie if she comes to India, please. I should be the first one to try this.
This movie seems a little different than many other films that you've made, because I think it's fair to describe many of your films as secular in character. Perhaps someone would presume that you're playing a Hindu character, but the main character's religion, your character's religion, is not central to the plot. Is it a risk at all to be making a movie where you are explicitly identified as a Muslim?
No, I don't think so. I think, yes, our films are very secular, because, like I said, you know, they're mostly of the cabaret variety ones. People call it stereotype. I think it's a hero type. India has a lead actor always as a hero type. He's a hero. He flies and he jumps and he sings and he dances and does all the good things that you can imagine or fantasize about. But in this case, I think the film required us to take it a bit seriously. As far as the public is concerned, India is amazingly secular. Just to explain it to you, I'm a Muslim, but I am a leading star for the last 20 years. So, you know, if you just go by that, there is no issue ever, secular issues in our country. But yes, there are vested interests who will always bring that up to provoke people, which keeps on happening, I guess, everywhere.
There's another thing about this movie that may illustrate something about Indian cinema and something about India, in that your character comes to America. This is one of many films that you've been in, that other stars have been in, where it's kind of about Indians abroad. Why is that?
I have done a lot of films where the characters do come to America or London or to the Western part. See, Indian fantasies are very real. I say this to everyone. Our fantasies are about earning a good living, having maybe a car, not two, getting education for your kids. Our fantasies are not about getting the president of the country to sit in a rocket and go and break a meteor. Our fantasies are very real. As a matter of fact, everyone turns around and tells me, your films are so fantastic. And I find the Western cinema very fantastic. You know, you've got aliens and you've got things that we don't know about and we believe
in. 9-foot-tall blue creatures.
Yeah, blue creatures, and you have Batman and you have Superman. I remember the first time I was here, I think somebody was interviewing me in a hotel and they said, your films are such fantasies. And I'm like, we are fantasies? You know, our guys just want to sing and dance on the roads. Our guys just want to drive a big car. Our guys just want to come to America. You know, we don't want to go to Pandora, you know. And so it's like our films are very really fantastic, you know. They're achievable fantasies. So it's a big thing, you know, coming to the Western world. You have tall buildings, you have nice cars, you have big roads. So we just try to expose that in the Indian world.
It's a chance to travel to America for someone.
America is our Pandora.
Shah Rukh Khan, whose latest Bollywood epic is called My Name is Khan. It's opening worldwide this weekend, including the United States.
नैनों की चाल है मखमली हाल है नीची पलकों से बदले समां.
Shah Rukh Khan spoke with NPR Morning Edition host Steve Inskeep.
Earth and Sky.
Ocean plants buried in sediment can help reveal Earth's temperature thousands of years ago. That's according to Daniel Sigman of Princeton, winner of a 2009 MacArthur Genius Grant. Dr. Sigman has been trying to piece together how efficiently tiny ocean plants, algae, were using nitrogen about 20,000 years ago.
Algae require nitrogen to grow, and their bodies in turn fuel the rest of the ocean food web.
Sigman explained that by measuring algae's use of nitrogen, he can gauge how much these ancient organisms used another important element, carbon dioxide or CO2. All earthly plants use CO2 for photosynthesis. CO2 is also a major greenhouse gas in Earth's atmosphere. Excess CO2 warms the Earth.
The ocean is responsible for lowering carbon dioxide in the atmosphere as much as the forests on land are.
That's because algae takes CO2 out of surface water, and when the algae die, Sigman said, they sink.
And transfer it into the deep sea, where it cannot escape back to the atmosphere.
Thus cooling the planet, Dr. Sigman is currently working to determine the role the ocean played in the global cooling that caused the last ice age. His early research indicates that algae in polar oceans might have played a role. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
Support for today's broadcast comes from the Illini Union Hotel. Located at the heart of campus, the Illini Union Hotel offers 72 newly remodeled guest rooms and two VIP suites with views of the main quad. More information is available at 333-1241 or on the web at union.illinois.edu.
This is Illinois Public Media, WILL, 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD2 and HD3 Urbana. Online at will.illinois.edu. 2 minutes before 3 o'clock, 26 degrees in Urbana. Ed Kieser's forecast for Illinois and Indiana. Tonight in western Illinois, increasing cloudiness. Elsewhere, partly cloudy.